You're listening to Daycare Overhaul, Doing Childcare Better, presented by Childcare BizHelp.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Daycare Overhaul, where we do childcare better. I'm Caroline Jens.
And I'm Justina Patterson.
And we are so pleased to be back on the show for season two of our podcast. I'm so pumped, Justina, for this whole season. How about you?
I am too. I have missed doing this.
I know. It's been like a piece of us just is not the same without having our weekly podcast.
That is very true.
So it's been, I think, since April, since the last time that we got together. What have you been doing this summer?
A whole lot of nothing.
I highly doubt that.
No, actually, in all honesty, I try my best always to be as positive as possible, even through this pandemic that we've been dealing with. I try to really, really think, what has this pandemic done for me as opposed to what's happened to me? And how can I take what we've been through and learn from it and grow through it? And so looking at all the positives of it, I've had a really good summer, just like enjoying the little things in life and spending time with family and my husband and that sort of thing. I heard this quote one time, grow through what you go through. And I think that's really fitting right now.
I love that statement. Grow through what you go through. That's so true with, especially with what we're going through right now. I've been on like this crazy emotional roller coaster. And, you know, some days I find myself super strong, like I can handle anything. And then other days I'm like super fearful, just on edge, wondering if I'm going to make it to tomorrow. And
right.
I mean, I will honestly say I do see a light at the end of the tunnel, however. Or maybe that could be because I'm in Florida now.
Florida? What's going on? You know, last time we were together, we were both in Wisconsin. So you're in Florida now. That's kind of a different thing. That's what you've been up to this summer, I guess, huh?
I have. We moved to Florida about 3 months ago.
That's unfortunate because it's like 50 degrees in Wisconsin today.
Well, it's about 150 here in Florida. No. But I just, yeah, I cannot explain what it's like to move from Wisconsin to Florida. We miss all of our family. I miss seeing you every day. But we are really happy to be here. And I'm just wondering, when are you coming out to see me?
I'll just hop on a plane right when we're done with this.
That sounds like a plan.
Right? So you moved, but I moved too.
That's right. You moved just recently.
I did not. Yes. Like 2 weeks ago, I did not move to Florida. I just moved north, like an hour and a half away from where I was before.
Well, that's unfortunate.
So not so colder, I guess. I don't know. Not. It's definitely not Florida, but it's been a nice change of pace to have a new city and a new environment, that sort of thing.
Yeah. You've got like new restaurants you can go eat at and.
Right.
New places you can go.
I will tell you, I wonder if you had the same experience. We went to the grocery store for the first time, and it's a different chain than what we have been used to. It is very unsettling walking into a grocery store and having no idea where anything is. My husband and I were walking around. He's like, what do you want to get? I'm like, I have no idea. Because I couldn't wrap my head around, I don't even know where anything is in this store. So I can't like navigate. What do we need to get here? What do we need to get there? Did you have that same experience?
We do. We've got, well, first of all, finding a grocery store that you want to go to. That's like challenge number one. We have like 50 around us. And so just trying to figure out where do we want to go. Is that a train I hear?
It is a train. Why not, right?
Why not? Season two kickoff.
Right? So, okay, finding a grocery store that you wanted to go to.
Yes. Yeah, so it's taking a lot longer to go grocery shopping, but you know, we love to eat out and we have hundreds of new restaurants around us that are really cool in the St. Petersburg area. And so it's like every week we try to pick a brand new one to go eat at.
Well, that's fun because then you can decide like, what's your favorite? What do you want to just eat on occasion? What's like a special treat depending upon the food that they have?
Right. All good things, all good things. So yeah, we've had a really jam-packed summer, you and I. And yeah. even though we haven't been together, I feel like, you know, we were just together yesterday, and I'll tell you, it feels really good to be back in doing season two of Daycare Overhaul, even though if you're not right next to me.
No, but we do, you know, thank God for technology and video chat, because sometimes it's like we'll just be on video chat for like 2 hours talking about random stuff. So it's like we're still together.
Exactly. Oh.
What are you laughing about?
My emails are like, I forgot to close out my emails. So, you know. Oh,
close that inbox right now.
I just did. You know, bear with us, listeners. We're trying to get the hang of being back in a podcast.
And doing it virtually. Like before, we recorded in person. So it was a very different environment as opposed to being, I don't know, what are we, like 1,500 miles away from each other? I don't even know.
It's like 18 hours if we were to drive.
Okay, that's really far.
That's not fun.
But it's a whole different environment. Yes, I can still see you when I'm talking to you, but you're not right next to me. And we have, you know, our computers up, so naturally emails and all that sort of stuff. So it's like we have to shut down all of that stuff to focus on what we're doing.
Right. Well, you know, it was a really tough decision to end season one. And that was like back in April, if you remember. But, you know, you and I both decided it was just the right time to take a break, give us time to focus on the industry, focus on our clients. We were going through some really rough times back in April.
Right. Well, and we had been really, really excited for the remainder of season one because we had tons of guests lined up. But we just knew that at that point in time, it wasn't right to continue doing that. So we're like, we need to pause. We need to focus on our clients and the industry and like, how can we help them? And we'll just pick up Daycare Overhaul in a couple months when things kind of settle. Is that the right word? I don't know.
Yeah, that's a really good way to put it. I feel like we're in a good place now. You know, most of our centers have learned to kind of navigate these crazy uncertain waters that we've been experiencing. And most centers are open at this point. So I feel like, you know, we really got a handle as an industry of, you know, this COVID thing. And so, you know, with that, we want to start this new season, deliver some really great messages over the next few months. We've got some really great guests that we have in line. It's not just going to be Justina and I this season. We've got some really good speakers that are going to be coming. As a matter of fact, next week, we have a very special guest. His name is Richard Huffman, and he is the founder of Celebrity Schools, and he's going to join us and talk about leading through the unknown. And honestly, Justina, he's one of my favorite podcast peeps.
He is great.
And he's so inspirational.
Okay, so like behind like the podcast magic, that's the episode's already been recorded.
Right.
So we're, you know, we're a little out of order just based on our schedules and stuff. And it was fascinating to listen to him and hear what, you know, his schools and his company has done. I just found myself just like listening the whole time. Like, yeah, that's great. Or like taking all these notes, like fascinating.
I know it was kind of funny. It was like, we're on a podcast with him, but yet I just wanted to sit and listen to him speak. It was so good.
Like, tell me everything.
Tell me everything that your school does. But that's really what we want to have for this season. We want this to just be about experiences that our owners and other people in our industry are going through right now. And how are they overhauling how they do things in their centers?
Right.
Great. So let's kick this off.
Kick off season two. I don't think there's a better way to start it than talking about some ways that we've seen childcare centers pivot during this time. And what are some trends that we're seeing?
That sounds like a perfect place to start.
Okay, but I said pivot, and the first thing that I thought about was that Friends episode where Ross is trying to get the couch up like the weird staircase, and he just keeps yelling like pivot, pivot. There's a meme out there, and I can't say the word or hear it without thinking that.
I love that episode. It is hilarious.
You know, all right. Moving on, before we talk about specific examples, I think it's most important to remember that the most important things that centers can do is to be open-minded. try a variety of things. Obviously, you don't want to try everything at once. You don't want to make yourself go crazy. But you have to give it a good try. Some things might work. Some things might take longer to gain traction. And there very well could be things that you implement now or have implemented that will change your business forever for the better.
That's so true. And I think what we're going to do is we're going to talk about some real examples of how some centers have pivoted. And we'll just kind of get started. And that way people that are listening can hopefully find some really valuable information if maybe they didn't try this, try some of the things that we have found.
Right. And I just want to remind people, don't get discouraged if it doesn't work right away. You know, keep trying. You know, maybe you just need to tweak the idea a little bit. You know, there's lots of really great ideas in here that we've seen clients do in the industry do. And maybe that exact idea won't work, but something similar may work for
you. Agreed. Good point. Yeah, because it can get really overwhelming when you hear what other people are doing. You're like, oh, I have to do that. I have to do that. And then you're like, how do I do any of it? So the first thing, obviously, I think is one of the hottest topic that you have to do. I mean, this is a must, is virtual learning. How do we capture that with our school districts, with our 4K, with our school agers? You know, some of the schools out there have hybrid learning, these school districts. Either you're going to have the kids in the schools, they're going to be online at home, or maybe some hybrid in between. And so how are we capturing that? And then how are we taking care of our 4Kers that maybe don't feel comfortable coming into our school for their 4K program? So what are we doing? So what I've seen is some schools are offering 4K virtual learning for students at home. And so if this sounds kind of overwhelming for you, keep it simple. Assign one teacher to teach virtually to keep kids on a schedule while they're at home. Set a time frame. Is it from, you know, 9 a.m. until 1 p.m. to where you have one teacher designated to a certain schedule to teach these 4Kers? And then keep them engaged. Have them do some physical activities. You know, have gym class or have them do some type of literacy program or something that will enhance, you know, the 4K experience. But you have to be able to capture that market because not every family feels comfortable bringing their four-year-old into the centers at this point.
Right. And I think you made two similar but very different points. One is the virtual 4K, but one is those school agers that have virtual school, but the parents have to go to work. So how can you safely bring them into your center and keep them on task learning virtually? Because they still have schoolwork to do, but either the parents have to work or they don't know how to help them through that stuff. I don't know how many friends I have say, like, I don't know how teachers do this. I can't figure this out. Well, childcare leaders and teachers are experts at that. So how about we help the families and say, we'll take the school agers, we'll take them in, and we'll help them with their homework to alleviate some of the pressure on you.
Right. And I think what we're doing is we're being able to provide that safe space where they can come and we can make sure that they're getting their work done, that the school districts assign, and we can make sure that they're interacting with other kids and just really provide them a great experience during the day because they can't go to their normal school.
Right.
Yeah. And so I'm really super proud of how centers have stepped up to kind of stand in the gap where school districts are maybe unable to fill in right now. I don't want to say they're falling short, but we have definitely seen our industry kind of step up.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And not only have many of us not closed our centers during COVID, but we're providing services that we've never imagined doing.
Right.
And that's super cool.
It's one of those things, like, it's not going to be comfortable for everybody all the time, but that's where growth happens. So as a business and as an industry, let's grow through what we go through, right?
Right. Way to tie that back in.
Don't they call it like a callback in movies or something? It's a callback.
I'm not sure.
Anyways, another way we've seen centers pivot is with tours. Families still need care, whether it be they move to the area, they have to go back to their job. And so when they didn't need care before, now they do because kids are not in school or whatever it is. We need to be able to show off how these centers are still great. And with social distancing and safety in mind, we have a few ideas. We've seen some centers do 100% virtual tours. So whether that is a pre-recorded tour of the center or a live tour, so like on a Zoom call or something like that, where you're live on the call with the family, walking them through the center, talking about them, answering the questions in real time. I don't think we ever really thought to even do that before. But I know when I was at a center, I had families call all the time, like, we're moving from out of state. We can't come and see the center because
right. We're
like in the process of moving. Time does not allot for that. And so they either enroll blindly or do the little research online and say, this is good, or they make the extra trip to, you know, spend the time to come see it. But sometimes that's just not an opportunity. So how can we do the virtual tours for everybody going forward?
Yeah, I love.
And then,
oops, sorry.
Nope, go ahead.
I love virtual tours. I think that we should have been providing them all along. And like you said, mm-hmm. you know, occasionally we would do it if someone was coming from out of state or whatever. Just a really cool idea.
Well, and we can also offer touch-free tours where they can come to the center and not have to worry about touching anything or anyone and, you know, keep that social distance so that they can still come and see the physical space without feeling like they're endangering themselves or something like that. Other people, as I mentioned, have video tours on their website. So that's like a predetermined or a pre-recorded walkthrough of your center. That's great. Or a virtual open house. How cool would that be?
That would be awesome.
To be able to set up like a Zoom call or something at a certain time and have people log in and you do a quick tour of your center, talk about your philosophy, your curriculum, that sort of thing, and have like an open Q&A session with potential families.
Hey, what about a virtual tour bag?
There you go.
I just thought of that one right now.
Write that down.
Where you can email like a virtual tour bag. How cool would that be? Ooh, I'm writing it down.
Well, it's one of those things, like it would even be cool to be able to offer virtual tours like one night a week, especially if it's a family with young kids. Their schedule may not allow for them to come during your open hours. So maybe like one night a month or two nights a month, you offer, you know, late night tours to like 7 o'clock or something. So like once kids go to bed, they can take the time and like walk through the center and answer the questions.
I love that. Hey, if you're doing tours of any kind, whether they're pre-recorded or it's like a Facebook Live kind of thing, don't forget something really important. What would that be, Justina?
Collecting their information. It's so, so important. No matter what kind of tour you're doing, to always get information so you can follow up with them. Don't they say the fortune's in the follow-up? Isn't that a thing?
That is a thing.
I'm full of quotes today.
You are.
No, but honestly, if a family's not enrolling on the spot, and not every family does, it's important to follow up with them to say, did you have any other questions? If you give them information or a tour packet, which we encourage that you do, have you had time to look through that? Do you have any questions about the information that's in there? Oftentimes at tours, you're like throwing so much information at them at once that for them to take it in and digest all that, it might take some time. So follow up a couple days later and say, hey, I'm just following up. Did you have any other questions? Is there anything I can help you with? Whatever.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. So good. But the follow-up is true. Oftentimes that's one thing. If someone's not coming into our center and filling out a tour form, we forget that we should follow up with them. So don't freely offer your tours. Make sure you're collecting that data before these people actually, you know, get to see your center.
And I am just going to interject. I would say that the follow-up is almost more important now than it ever was, especially if they're not coming in, because you need to be able to build that relationship with them. There's no way you're going to do that unless you follow up with them and talk to them and get to know them.
Exactly. Right. So true. The other thing that I'm seeing a lot is, you know, our local businesses are struggling right now because mom or dad have a child that's having a virtual learn at home. And so now they're like, how do I work too? And so a lot of local businesses are trying to find schools, childcare centers to partner with to help them offer this kind of childcare service to their employees and their staff. And I want to encourage childcare centers out there to don't be shy. If you have a business in your area, give them a call. Ask them if they have a need maybe with their staff.
Well, and I think I feel like I always preach this. I am such a firm believer in childcare centers becoming an integral part of their community. It's so important. Forming that relationship now is fantastic, but making sure it continues as time goes on is important to the business. I always think centers should be cross-marketing and doing that sort of thing, but now more than ever.
Exactly. So true.
You never know what need someone has until you ask, or just to let them know that you're there. You know, as a business owner to another business owner, just like, hey, I know what you're going through. If nothing else, maybe you can, you know, bond over that.
Right. Worst case scenario, you have a conversation with someone in your community. I mean, you can't go wrong.
Right.
Just set up a plan, you know, pick one or two businesses a week to call.
And I think going off of that, and it kind of goes hand in hand, another idea is to be creative with scheduling of new and current families. Offer flexible hours instead of just full time. Maybe a family only needs 2 to 4 hours a day, 2 to 3 days a week, as opposed to full time before. And allowing more flexibility right now can make a lot of difference in the lives of the families that you serve and to your bottom line. And then just being open and letting families know now, like know in the foreground, like we're going to offer this now, but as the needs of our center change, we may not be able to offer it forever. Just be open with them now, because at least if they know for the next 2 months they have this availability, that might be all they need just to get through till, you know, they go back to work full time or till something else changes in their life.
Right.
And I think just being open at the beginning is a lot easier than trying to go back at the end and saying, oh, by the way, we don't have a space anymore. So.
That's so true. And I know it can be scary as a center director to kind of, you know, juggle all these part-time families. It's way easier to have all full-time families. But right now we have to go back to the basics.
Right.
Like any type of tuition income that we can bring in, you know, we have to be creative. We have to be creative in our scheduling, in the hours that we're willing to take, in our pricing. So, you know, this might be a conversation you might have if you're an owner, have that real serious conversation with your center director and talk it through together on different ways that you can offer flexibility to prospective families.
Right.
The other thing that we're seeing is just being able to pivot how we communicate, right? Because your parents are not coming into the center anymore.
Right.
You're not seeing them walk past your office. You're not seeing them in the classroom. And, you know, a lot of us have some kind of app where you're, you know, sending pictures during the day of what the child is doing, but that's not enough.
Right.
Even a weekly newsletter is not enough. You know, our parents need more from us. So here's a couple really cool ideas that we've seen. I found this stand that puts a TV on it that's on wheels. And so you can program a video to go on the computer, on this television that sits on the stand, and you can wheel it in and out of your building. And so in the morning when parents are dropping off and at night when they're picking up, wheel this TV screen out there and have, you know, cool things going across, like a teacher spotlight or display artwork from the kids that have, you know, maybe from the day or whatever. And it's just a great way as parents are standing in line to pick up their child. It's something that they can watch and actually feel like they're a part of the center still. The other thing is even putting a board outside where you can pin artwork on.
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't like the TV option, you can just have a board out there because parents are not walking down the hallways or in the classrooms to see all that beautiful artwork. And so put it on display outside.
It's like, how can you take the ambiance and the feel of your center and translate it into this 30-second interaction at the beginning and the end of the day, because it's super quick. So how can you carry over what your culture and what your center is all about in a short period of time with maximum impact?
So I'm writing that down. You're so full of great ideas today.
Every once in a while.
30 seconds of interaction. I think that's super critical to really grasp if you even have 30 seconds.
Right.
And how can we make the biggest impact during that time period where we barely have parents' attention?
Right.
The other thing is, don't hesitate to have just video catch-up meetings.
Is that thunder I hear?
So it is thunder.
I was oh my gosh, what is happening? I don't think that's at my house.
So we have trains, we have email beeps, we have thunder. What else is going to happen today?
You know, time will tell.
I love this podcast. It's it's always
this
so
is
fun.
Called real life.
It's real life. Our producers aren't here right now, and it's just Justina and I trying to whittle through this.
It's okay. It'll be great.
Well, let me finish.
Wait, was that just an alarm? Add that to the sounds.
So there's alerts and all kinds of stuff going on. Well, we'll see if I'm still here in an hour if a hurricane came to get me.
Joking aside.
Anyways, so the final way that we can pivot in our communication would be have video meetings with your families to catch up. You know, it's one thing to send an email, but it's another to just get them on screen. I know we're sick of, you know, Zoom conversations, etc., but parents want to see the teachers and they want to see you as a center director. So, you know, take some time out of your month to have some video catch-up meetings.
I love that idea. I love the idea of teachers being able to interact with the families in their classroom specifically. And, you know, it might be one night a month that they have to give up to do it after hours. But that might be the difference in that family's life or in that classroom's life or in that teacher's life, being able to see the kids and talk to them and talk to the families. That can make all the difference in the world.
Exactly. And this kind of translates into, you know, how can we be innovative in how we appreciate our staff? So I think COVID has kind of pushed us out of our comfort zone. Our staff has been working super, super hard. And, you know, they're on the front line. They're often not getting recognized. You know, childcare has been kind of that forgotten industry during COVID. And so we have to really take that extra time to appreciate our staff on like no budget, right? Because we don't.
Right.
There is no more money to whittle away and appreciate our staff. So a couple really fun ideas. One that we did for one of our clients was virtual appreciation cards. And so we designed these.
Love it.
Yeah, we designed. Well, you did. You designed these cool little cards that said, you know, you're a rock star today, or we appreciated how you were positive and shining a light. And we created little images for that. And then you're able to share those images via email or Slack or whatever communication tool that you have for your staff. Those are really fun. And then staff can appreciate each other. So it's not something that you have to print out and spend money on.
Right.
If I'm a teacher and I want to appreciate another teacher, I can, you know, Slack them an appreciation card. So that's it's a really fun idea.
Well, and it's, like you said, it's little to no cost. It's your time. And it might be, you know, 2 minutes of your time to be like, hey, I saw you doing this today and I really appreciated that. Thank you.
Exactly. And if you don't have it, oh, sorry.
I just was going to say, sometimes all people want is a thank you.
So true. Justina, thank you for all you do.
Thank you for all you do.
I'm going to say that publicly because you're awesome.
You're awesome.
Well, and if you don't have a Justina to design your appreciation cards, you can use Canva.
I love Canva.
Yeah. Canva.com. We'll put it in our summary of this podcast. Mm-hmm. But using Canva, you can create some really cool, simple stuff. And so that's, again, you don't have to have a Justina to design your cards. You can feel free to use Canva. The other thing is we had some people create posters for their teachers to say that they were essential rock stars during the pandemic. And their teachers were able to kind of put that on their window of their house or their apartment, or they created a yard sign that they put in the lawn. So just really cool ways to appreciate.
Well, and I think that's really neat because as a society, I'm full of really great quotes today and my words don't work. So that's great. No, but as a societies, we have been social distancing. So we haven't been going to restaurants and grocery stores like as much. Like I know people still have to go to the grocery store, but you haven't been going out as much. You're trying to limit your going out, whatever. But it's really cool because more families are going on walks and getting out and being in nature and to like go through a little subdivision and see all the little yard signs that say an essential worker works here or proud graduate. How cool would it be if you got little yard signs for your pre-K graduates? And you could put them in your yard. Or the people that fill their doors with the hearts, all the different mm-hmm. color. Like, that's really cool. And just to see that, I think it's kind of cool.
Yeah, it really makes me smile whenever I'm driving down the road and I see something like that. It's cool. That's really
I always
great.
Want to honk. And just be like, hey, but I don't want them to be like, why is this crazy person honking at me? So well, I don't.
Good idea. the other thing is clings for your car. So they're cheap to make. And, you know, again, they can stick it on the window of their car. That's always fun. T-shirts. So you're seeing T-shirts everywhere. So I'm an essential worker or whatever the T-shirt is.
And I'm just to interject. T-shirts sound expensive, but they're ridiculously inexpensive. Right. You can find T-shirts for like $5 a piece. Like it could really be that cheap.
That's true. And we know a lot of T-shirt people. So maybe we should put some resources in our podcast too of people that they can reach.
On it. I'm making notes.
Make some notes. All right. I'm going to come up with the final innovative pivot or whatever that we have seen. And that's really just on ways to gather your staff and gather our families together in social situations because, you know, obviously we're not doing large group gatherings and everything. So how can you keep people engaged? Because engagement leads to retention. And we need to really continue to find ways to get our staff and our families engaged. So here's some fun ideas. Oh, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I think with all the social distancing, people have been really lonely and they just want to feel a part of something. So if they can feel a part of your childcare community and a part of your family, I think that's really important, you know, and however, like you said, engagement equals retention, but it also could equal, you know, not loneliness.
Right. Not loneliness. Oh, I'm lonely.
What's the opposite of lonely? Now, I don't know.
Not lonely.
Exactly. Okay. Anyways, proceed with your ideas.
All right. Virtual game nights. You know,
love it.
Have online games or whatever. Here's a fun idea I was thinking of before our podcast was a scavenger hunt.
That would be so fun.
So let's say on Friday when people pick up their kids or when staff leave for the day, plan a scavenger hunt for the weekend. And have families or employees or whoever the game is directed toward take pictures while they're going on their scavenger hunt and do a specific hashtag and post them on Instagram, on Facebook, and just have a really great time with it.
Yeah, I think that that's actually a really good idea because that not only gets them involved as a family and as your center, but involved in the community. Maybe there's like a really cool park that no one really goes to. So you do a little riddle about how to get to this park and that would be so fun.
Yeah. And, you know, we always would have like summer parties with our families.
Mm-hmm.
And now you might be upset. We had the budget, but now we can't have our summer party or our fall party or whatever it is that we used to do. Maybe use those resources, those financial resources, to send something to the home and have a virtual event.
Or even with the scavenger hunt, or like a treasure map, like kind of piggybacking off that. So they have to follow these riddles to get to the secret place. And then when they get there, a member of your team could be there with a prize, because then you're still trying to be social distance. You're not inviting a mass amounts of people there, but you're still getting the interaction, and families are always looking for things to do.
I love the treasure map idea. I hope someone does it and lets us know how it goes.
It reminds me of, I don't know if we've talked about this on the podcast, when we were working together at our center and we were opening a second location. Instead of just telling all the staff where it was, we put together a secret mission, and you came around. I think we have talked about it.
Yes.
You came around with your spy glasses on and like envelopes that said top secret, and you handed them to each of the staff. And they didn't know where they were going. They just knew they had to get to these places. So how cool would that be for families to have to go to 3 or 4 different places around the community? Or maybe this is where you, okay, I'm going on a tangent here, but maybe this is where you contact other local businesses and get together with them and do something with them. So they have to make stops at these different places in your community. And then the end result is some sort of little prize or whatever it might be. It doesn't have to be super expensive, but like you said, use the resources you've already set aside for some of those parties. And, you've already budgeted for it.
Right, right.
It's already in the budget.
So I had another idea. We're going off the fly here. What if you had an experience where you asked people to go to different business Facebooks and like their Facebook? And so everyone had a, instead of going to the actual business, they had to go to their social media channel and like that business. So it's just another, be creative.
Or maybe do like a photo contest and tag businesses in it or whatever, instead of liking their page, like tag them in it or post on their page, show them some love.
Oh, we could go at this all day.
Yeah, I'm getting lots of ideas now, so I'm trying to write them down so that we don't sit and talk about them for 3 hours. This is what happens.
We're going to have to put a blog together. How about that?
Yes, we'll do a blog. If it's done by the time this goes out, we'll link it. If it's not, we'll link it. We'll share it on social so that they can find it later.
Sounds great. So all these pivots have been really cool that we've been seeing in our industry. So honestly, yes, COVID has been really hard on us, but at the same time, it has taken us to places where we never would have imagined being. And it's making us think way more creatively, way more innovatively. And I'm honored to be a part of the child care industry. I'm so excited to see where our businesses are going, even though we're struggling. You guys are so resilient. And I feel so honored. And I know, even for our business, we've had to pivot and change, right, Justina?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's, we're not the only, we're in this industry too. We're not servicing kids, but we've obviously been affected. And so we've had to kind of really think through, how do we navigate these waters?
Right.
And we're just going to name like 3 things that we've done just for your entertainment to see, how... what we've done to survive, COVID. The first thing that we've done is we've created a la carte services, whereas in the past you had to sign up with us for like 6 or 12 months. Now we're letting certain childcare centers that are smaller, maybe don't have the budget, where they can sign up for very specific items like marketing or training or website help, that kind of stuff, and just on a la carte basis.
Right. They may not need us for 6 or 12 months, but they may need us for 3 weeks to do this one project that they're working on. And so we partner with them, we get it done, we get it taken care of, and it's simple and it's more budget friendly, like you mentioned. The next thing, I almost forgot about this because I was just going to go on to the next one after that. And I'm like, oh, that's right. Pump the brakes.
Pump the brakes. This is my favorite one.
We created a new product.
Woo-woo!
So why not? Seems like a
why
great
not?
Time. One of the things that we really thought about is childcare centers, their pain points and like what they struggle with, and center directors specifically. It's chaotic on any given day. Like any normal day in childcare, it's crazy.
Right, right.
Let's just throw in a global pandemic and see what happens, right? And so we decided, like, what could we do to help all the directors? Well, we can't help each one of them individually, but what could we do to try and help them all? We should probably just create a subscription box.
Yes, we should.
So it's kind of like a twofold product. So we have the subscription box that we named Leadershipped, which I was really excited about that title.
Because you came up with it?
Well, as I maintain, a title is a very big, important decision to make. And we couldn't just call it Director Subscription Box. And then, like, that's not catchy.
That's no fun.
That's no fun. And if you know us, we're all about the fun. And so we created Leadershipped, and it is a subscription box, a quarterly subscription box that owners or directors can order either for their directors or for themselves, respectively, filled with resources and fun. So one of the things that was most important for us to put in there was a leadership journal. And it's a 90-day journal that they can write in. And every day there's, what do they need to work on? Here's our to-do list. These are the fires I have to put out. Here's my great idea. But there's also points for reflection too. So you can either order the subscription box or you can just buy the journal outright. And right. We thought it was very fitting for our first theme to be being essential is my superpower. Because we all know the childcare industry, they're a bunch of superheroes right now. Right. And so that's our first one that's going to be shipping out like any day now. And so we're really excited to be offering that to the industry.
Yeah, it's like one of my favorite things that we've ever done in childcare biz help.
And we were very fortunate to be able to partner with some really, really great people to help us bring some amazing items to the box. And so we'll have that linked in the description as well.
Awesome. The final item that I think was significant in ways that we've pivoted as a company that's very important to me personally, it's part of our core values, and that's a foundation of faith. And I think for the last 3 weeks now, every Tuesday morning at 9 a.m. Eastern time, we pray for our industry. And anyone is welcome to come. It takes us about 10 to 15 minutes. And we just, whatever God puts on my heart, we spend some time praying for our owners, our directors, the kids, our community. And we have specific challenges that we encourage each other to do every week, like fasting or prayer walks. You know, this week we're looking at ways to find gratitude like 7 times a day. Because if we're feeling grateful daily, several times a day, it makes life a lot better to go through. Things are easier to overcome. It just changes perspective for sure.
Absolutely.
But yeah, so those are, you know, our childcare centers have pivoted. We've had a pivot, and I'm sure we're all going to be continuing to make changes as we continue through the unknown. But I don't know about you, Justina. I'm just really pumped about just seeing other ideas that are going to continue to emerge from our industry as we continue to navigate this year. I know there's going to be some really great things on the horizon. And if anything, like I said, I think most of us can agree that a time of uncertainty and fear has really made me personally learn to appreciate things more than I ever have before. You know, like Justina said earlier, you know, time with your family, time with your friends, getting together with people that you love, just even giving a hug. You know, gosh, when you hug a friend, it feels so good because we just haven't been able to do that. And it's something that you really took for granted. Mm-hmm. And so again, I encourage everybody to concentrate on finding ways to show gratitude. Give yourself a break. We've been through a really hard year and you guys are doing great things. So just continue to make a difference and, you know, keep a positive mindset.
Yeah. And I think I mentioned this earlier, but I firmly, firmly believe that the ideas and the innovation that come from this specific season of life that we're in will change the way all industries, not just childcare, do business. And I know I've seen it in childcare already. And I can't wait to see what else it does. You know, there's something really beautiful about all the things that have been happening, all the good that people are doing. And I love seeing that.
Me too.
And, you know, we always try to include an overhaul challenge in our episodes. And we want to challenge you to share with us on social at Daycare Overhaul on the post for today's announcement. So when we put the post up that this blog is live or this podcast is live, comment on there about something that COVID forced you to do that you were reluctant about doing and you weren't necessarily excited about it, but it turned into being a really cool thing for your business. And now you're like, well, we're going to do this forever. So I would love to hear what people have to say. I'm really excited because I think there'll be a lot of really great ideas, maybe even ones that no one's thought of yet and one person's doing it.
That's a great challenge. I can't wait to read what people put because I know, like for us, we were going to be doing things that we never thought we would be doing in our business, and we're not going to stop doing them once this whole COVID stuff is over. So
right.
Love it. So thank you guys so much for joining us for our first episode of season 2. It's actually episode 14 for Daycare Overhaul. And, you know, just know that we're here for you. We're praying and thinking of all of you during this crazy season. And remember, pivot and get creative.
And as always, if you have any questions for us or a topic you want to hear us talk about, or if you have a guest idea, send us an email at info@daycareoverhaul.com. And then, of course, share with us your overhaul wins on Facebook and Instagram at Daycare Overhaul using the hashtag #OverhaulWin, or comment on the post for today's episode. And then be sure to hit the follow button on all the social and subscribe to our podcast. And we'll see you guys next time.
See you next time, everyone.
Bye.
Bye, Justina.
Bye, Caroline.